Hey, hello, everybody. I'm Tom Dorsey.
This is Paul Keaton.
It's July 12th, 2017. Time's flying by. Today's going to be 105 today. Don't worry about it. It's not a dry heat.
That's it's what not
they say.
Dry heat.
That's what they say in Arizona. It's 127, but it's a dry heat.
It's dry relative to getting into a hot tub that's 105.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Getting into a sauna.
A sauna. At
105.
Yeah.
Which I do every day. I get in it at like 180 something.
Sure you do.
I'm serious. Not a goal. It's like that. You can 20 minutes is the maximum you can stay in there. Otherwise, you start getting fried up, man.
I don't doubt it.
So, interesting. You know, it gets more interesting by the minute with this Department of Labor situation. It's here to stay no matter how they obfuscate it or how they want to push it back or whatever. It's being totally honest with your customer, plain and simple in just a few words. And when you look at the things, I mean, you have an interesting article. In fact, your wife wrote an interesting article. You probably should put it in a report on what used to be free. Things that were free then.
Yeah.
Today are required.
She was, what reminded me of this, and this is something that she wrote probably 10 years ago, but what reminded me of this was an article in financialplanning.com that the name of the article was "Our Traditional Wealth Management Models Dead." And, you know, we could argue that back and forth, and maybe we will just to have fun. But what caught my eye was a quote from Kendra Thompson, who's head of Accenture's global wealth management practice. And she was speaking at a conference, and she said something, and the phrase was, "Everything people thought was cool in 2014 is table stakes in 2017.
3 years.
3 years, but that's a comment you could apply just about to any industry at just about any time. Maybe you could say, well, 30 years ago, maybe things didn't change that much over 3 years. Maybe it took them 10 years, but because of technology today, maybe that time is being compressed.
Yes, it is.
When you look at our industry, it seems like it's being compressed almost more than most other areas
of
the world.
I've been in 43 years. I've seen it. I know compression. I know from where we began in compression.
Right.
Think about May 1st, 1975, mm-hmm. where finally the SEC deregulated commission. Everyone had the same extremely high onerous commission for everyone. It took 183 years for that change. 183 years from under the Buttonwood tree to May 1st, 1975. That's compression. But that was 183 years. That's like, what's a diamond? Diamond is just a piece of coal. It's been under pressure for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and these are the little things that happen to us along the way that change our business forever, because that's the way when Charles Schwab came in. But today, like you're saying, that compression is happening fast. It's a jackhammer.
And so in this business, you have to know that, because you have to understand that, you know, what you were offering clients just a few years ago and you know what you were offering to really close a deal, that may just be an expectation now. And that was the paper that my wife wrote years ago. And what she was doing in the consulting world was really speaking to this same observation that businesses change rapidly, and you never want to be caught thinking that this sweetener that you have, this thing that you view as a differentiator, you can't lose sight of when that no longer is a differentiator, when it turns into a simple expectation. And she used, back then, it was an example of coffee cups.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you think back, gosh, probably 12 or 15 years, I guess, you know, you'd go into a Starbucks, and they would have those little, not styrofoam, kind of cardboard things, you know, a sleeve that you put on your coffee cup. And that was like high technology, right? I mean, that was a absolute differentiator.
Yeah.
It made them different, and it was a really cool thing. It was a reason you might go spend an extra $2 or whatever for a cup of coffee, especially when down the street you had someone suing McDonald's for $1 million for having, you know, their hot coffee spill in their lap. And now you had this thing, you could hold it without frying your hand. But that changed. Now, and even just a few years later, everyone had that. It was no longer a differentiator for Starbucks. And then, because now you look at a cup of coffee without one of those little sleeves on it, I mean, you think there should be like yellow tape roping it off. I mean, it looks like the most dangerous thing in the world because our perceptions have changed. You just expect a cup of coffee will have that little sleeve on it.
Right.
So what did Starbucks do? I mean, they eventually, it was, you know, free Wi-Fi everywhere. Or now it's with Starbucks, you can go on their little app and you can say, hey, I want my, you know, triple shot latte, no caf, whatever it is. Yeah. Right. I don't quite know the lingo, but right. You can go on the little app and they've got like a grab and go thing where, okay, you're passing Starbucks. No, you don't go in and wait in line or whatever. You know, you go in, grab your little thing. It's already made for you. It's sitting right out there. You grab it, you're out of there. So they've constantly evolved because the industry has evolved. And so what is a differentiator? It evolves with it. And so that statement, everything people thought was cool in 2014 is table stakes in 2017, I mean, that couldn't be more true.
It absolutely is. I just finished a book, and I would highly recommend everyone get this. It's called Hunch, and it's written by Bernadette Giwa. And I wanted her to come speak at the Broker Institute, and I get her marketing email each week. I think it's fantastic. But she talks about it in the book about a coffee shop like that. And you look at the coffee shop, and they're marketing their coffee and how great the coffee tastes, and, you know, it's from Juan Valdez and in Colombia or whatever. You know, it's the greatest coffee in the world. So she goes in there, and she goes a number of days in there, and she starts watching everyone and what they do. What she came up with was most people are not ordering coffee. They were ordering iced teas. They were ordering whatever, but it wasn't the coffee. People didn't go into that coffee shop because of the coffee, although it appeared that's why you would go in on the outside.
Right.
What she came up with was the reason people went in there, it was a place to meet. They had good Wi-Fi. You could plug in. You could juice up your iPhone. You could do all these ancillary things, but the coffee wasn't it. In the beginning, it was the coffee. Mm-hmm. People came in for the coffee. But as time went on, it was no longer the coffee. It became other iced drinks and things like that. Beyond coffee, the reason was social media, socially place to meet people. And it's kind of interesting. So the whole thing changed.
You think about the retail industry now in general. Had they recognized that, you know, the process, the customer experience of buying clothes was going online, but most of them fought that. And by the time a lot of these retailers actually came out with like a website that was functional and was friendly, they'd already been Amazoned.
They'd been Amazoned. Right? That's right. You've already been shot.
That's right.
You've been shot.
They just didn't really. They thought, now we better build a website and this will be a big, you know, this will be a quote unquote sweetener. But it wasn't. I mean, they were 5 years late to that game.
Mm-hmm.
And their clients had already moved. They were already comfortable buying stuff on Amazon. Amazon already had their card. They already had their address. You know, they were already Prime members, and they're not going to charge them for shipping. Think about shipping. I mean, imagine do you remember when you used to actually pay to have something sent to your house?
Yes, absolutely.
All those got Amazon too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, now it would be offensive if someone were to tell you by the time you got to the checkout line, oh, it's going to be an extra $5 for shipping. Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me? Get out of here.
That's like going into a restaurant saying we're going to charge you $20 to look at the menu.
That's right.
Yeah, right. Let me make a guess. Give me the steak sandwich.
So think about our industry and just, I mean, how many advisors are out there still today and they're looking at their firm's modern portfolio theory process. And they're thinking, okay, sure, this is still worth 200 basis points, right? Isn't it?
Because you can obfuscate it.
Mm-hmm.
You can obfuscate that. And is it worth 200 basis points? It's free at Charles Schwab.
It's free at Charles Schwab.
And if you want the China price, if you're a manufacturer and I come to you and I say, I want you to make these surfboards for me, give me the China price. Okay, you got to match China because I can go over there and do it. I know you're in Richmond, Virginia, and you got a higher cost.
Yeah.
To give me the China price. That's the same thing here. Give me the China price. Mm. Got to lower it to the point. And Vanguard gives you the China price. Vanguard will give you a person who is a certified financial planner, got the certification, got little letters behind his name, and they'll give you modern portfolio theory with their almost non-existent fee funds, and that's for 30 basis points. That's the China price.
Mm-hmm.
Schwab gives it to you free. How do I know that? I have a Schwab account, a pretty large Schwab account, and I said, you know, I'm going to try this. I'm going to go put some money into their smart portfolio and whatnot, you know, modern portfolio theory, let them do what they do, rebalance it whenever they want to rebalance it, because I want to watch it. I want to feel it. I want to see the technology. I'm amazed. I'm amazed at what they do.
Because I'm sure, you know, the website was probably a second rate. No?
No.
It probably took 5 hours to open the account, though.
Oh, 1 second. And
1 second?
Yeah, once the account was open, in order to do the smart thing, it was done for you. And then there are people right on the phone. You just call up and answer any question you want. So what do you do with modern portfolio theory? You obfuscate. You, if you're charging 2% for it, you have to obfuscate the truth. I would assume, I'm not saying advisors do this, but you come to me at the end of the year and you say, Tom, how are we doing? Well, you know, Paul, we have your trajectory to your retirement, and you're right on that trajectory. Everything is cool. You're right on it. No problem. Half of that trajectory, though, is money you got to be mailing into me every month. Mm. I don't know that anyone breaks it down and says, exactly what did you do? How did that look versus what I sent in? I know we're on the trajectory.
Mm-hmm.
But there's always all kind of ways of obfuscating it. But it's now free at Charles Schwab. So you got to be whistling past the cemetery to be doing that.
And so for the advisor, it's just one of those things that became like, you know, that the risk assessment piece of the equation is free Wi-Fi, right? It's it's the thing where 10 or 15 years ago, it was something that a full-service brokerage firm could offer as a sweetener. And today, we have to accept the fact that it's an expectation. It's absolutely expected. There's no value add there because Schwab does it for 0 basis points. And if you try to pretend like it's a sweetener, it's going to be tough for your business. It's just going to delay the inevitable. So what do we do beyond that? Okay, now we've got you, Mr. Jones. We've got you, you know, tranquilized just enough, you know, to put you in the right risk bucket here. We understand who you are. We understand where you have the money. And that's a lot of advisors that I speak to that are very successful at this. They still love the firm's, you know, Envision platform at Wells Fargo and things like that. They don't depend upon it to close the account. They depend upon it simply as more data points for them, right? More data points. Now I know where Mr. Jones, I know where his other accounts are. I have a better picture for who he is, what his family is, and that sort of thing. But they understand it's an expectation. Now it's, what do you do above and beyond the risk tolerance stuff and the modern portfolio theory stuff? Because it's everything else beyond that that earns your fee.
Exactly. Years ago, Paul, you went to a site which is one of the main robo sites, and you went to number 5. You said, okay, if I was moderate, I want to be the exact moderate, and that was from 0 to 10, we'd be dead on number 5.
Mm-hmm.
Let's follow what they do, and we have a symbol for that in our system.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the returns on that, if I was the customer and I said, well, let's split this out. The money that I'm sending in, let's put that over here. How well have you done in this? If you look at 1 year, you're up 4.26. 3 years, you lost 3.48. This is modern portfolio theory. 5 years, you are up 12.39. S&P, just your plain S&P cap weight, which is probably the worst one you could invest in, is up 80%. 10 years, you're up 2.28% in the modern portfolio theory. And in the S&P, you're up 59.71%. So where's the benefit to all that diversification, all that watering down, all that amelioration in the portfolio? Where's the benefit? It's got to be where the customer sends more money in every month.
Yeah, I mean, in that case, and that's, you know, for an advisor that can sit and say, look, you know, we're going to do the amount of diversification that we have to do, but in our world, we can be just tactical enough to know that, well, you know, commodities have been out of favor for 95% of the current decade, and U.S. equities have been the top-ranked asset class for 95% of the current decade. So I'm going to have a process, Mr. Jones, that lets us accept that reality. So we're going to spend a lot more of our time and resources in equities and a lot less in commodities, and when these things change, we'll change with that. But we've got that degree of flexibility because that's what really has hurt all the strategic allocation mixes. You know, a constant anchor and commodities for the past, you know, 6-7 years, that's really hurt.
Yeah.
It's really chewed into the check Mr. Jones has sent in, you know.
Exactly.
Every year like clockwork, to stay on that trajectory. He should be well ahead of the trajectory after a 7-year bull market.
That's right.
But that's the type of thing that can be that that's still a sweetener, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because 80% of the business is still relying on the the computer algorithm that takes the risk tolerance questionnaire and turns it into an allocation. 80% of the business, roughly, is still depending upon that to do business with and to close accounts with. And the sweeteners have got to be taking it beyond that.
Has to be. What value do you bring to the table? And that's why, especially with the DOL now, a lot of advisors are just giving it up and saying, look, I'm going to turn the account over to someone else to manage.
Right.
And then I think to myself, why be in the business then? What's the reason to get up in the morning and come in? I mean, how enthusiastic can you be when you have the greatest business in the world at your fingertips and you don't want to be involved enough to try to make changes?
Yeah, and those, an advisor, you could come to the site, you can use the performance quilt. And that's a place where you could put in things like that Strategic 5, or there's other types of modern portfolio theory indexes that are out there. But you can put that into a performance thing, and you can go in and you can compare that to, the portfolios that you offer or some of the strategies that you offer, some of the models on anything that has a symbol on our site you can put in there. But if you had Mr. Jones's returns or your own composite returns, you can put that into the quilt as well. And you can go through different markets and talk about the value add that your process is providing relative to a set it and forget it diversified mix. That can be a great presentation tool for clients, and is the way that our website can help support your business.
This is a great conversation. We got to stop here, before we get too deep into the weeds. We could go on for another hour. I mean, it's so interesting about what's going on in the world with different corporations and how they're keeping ahead. But we'll stop here. We'll catch you all next week.
All right.